7:10.
You should be recorded.
And it's good to see everybody here, or almost everybody.
Maybe we have Taylor who's here.
So we got approval of the minutes first. If somebody would want to make that motion.
I'll make a motion. We approve the minutes from the December 4th meeting.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Additions, deletions, corrections?
Nope.
All in favor?
Like, aye.
Aye.
One abstention. I would say it wasn't.
Yeah.
Any opposition? There is none because it keeps the names. All right. All I wanted to do for tonight so that is to continue progress on that. So a couple of things I think we should, we're talking before the meeting, has everybody had a chance to look at the subdivision regs? Yeah.
Briefly.
And that's my question for tonight was there anything that jumped out at anybody that scared them? You know, because we can fine-tune these to death, and Logan's already wants us to fine-tune the difference between major and minor, and I think...
Once we do that, I think everything else...
Everything else is going to come it'll easy. It'll be really helpful to have this, because development.
So does this become like an addendum to our bylaws?
Yes.
Is that the way it goes, Bill?
It would be part of the zoning bylaws. You'd adopt it into the zoning regulations, yep.
So that means that we'd have to take all these points and put them into our bylaws and create a whole new set of bylaws.
We would vote on that.
It's an addendum.
Our final copy of whatever we come up with
as an
addendum to our. So we wouldn't have to touch our bylaws unless we found some glaring
difference
or conflict.
Yeah, conflict.
Which I don't think I'm not that well versed in our. I didn't memorize. That's for sure. But so what I'd like to do, I invited Logan to be here the 8th, because he's got one suggestion for sure, which was to make the difference between major and minor specific. And then that would be a good time to finalize that, and then we could send that off to the select board to let them think it through. I sent a copy to Glenn today as well, because he'll be the one that will study him. He'll. My personal opinion was those bylaws were are nothing but helpful, but. You know, we may find something that's really onerous that we want to change, or we want to make sure we don't have to have it, or we need it, or we need to change it differently, or we need to have it. I guess changing it differently would be...
As a practical matter, do we anticipate that there will be subdivisions covered by these regs at any point in the future, or has...
Well, it could be. There's a couple of places that could be developed. And the whole idea behind this, just for background, is to adopt to have a downtown designation, you have to have subdivision rules.
Oh, okay. Understood.
And so it's just an addition to our zoning. The carrot part of it is... that you can go from your downtown division, however you situate your downtown division, up to a half mile away from that is not always subject to Act 250. Okay. So that's the carrot part. It really helps large developers. There's a lot of property that's had mentioned in the last few years just north of Route 4 of the four lane. Mm-hmm. Off River Street, off
Airport Road.
And so there's all kinds of property out there. And with a little creative mapping of the downtown district, we can make that half mile work. And that makes that very look good to a lot of people.
Right.
So that's the whole idea.
Right, because I understand that the downtown designation, people with it, there was discussions about moving it as far out as Shaw's and that area. That making,
well, that was it. Yeah.
It would be nice to be able to do that. It's probably not feasible, and that's a discussion we're going to have when we map it.
Yeah.
You know, and then one of the things that we have is if you do a circle, a lot of it drops down in the river, and we're not going to develop on the river. Nobody's going to do that. So the idea would be to get that downtown designation away from the river, and that means, you know, maybe middle of the hill this way or something.
Well, is it something where the downtown portion can be drawn as kind of an irregularly shaped piece?
Exactly. Yes. We can pretty much.
Logan's already
do
said
it.
That.
Okay,
yeah.
Because that if you can do it with those sorts of boundaries, that's obviously a lot easier.
Yeah, and it seems like that's nobody's too worried about the state. I think the state they're happy to have the first of all. It's good politics for them to have something that makes Act 250 less of a block, a stepping block or a block. And if you don't have to go through Act 250 in the state of Vermont for a large development, you're saving yourself hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And red tape.
Sorry.
Right, and I mean if a downtown designation is coextensive with a commercial designation. I mean, obviously most of the commerce in this town takes place down in Washington and really not downtown.
That's what I'm worried about. Now, if we apply for a downtown designation down there, but we have these subdivision rules and we angle our perimeters up there, everybody's going to build this end. This end's of town's going to be forgotten. Because nothing's going to be down here on Main Street.
I think there's incentives for people to be down there. And you've got the park, and the park is a draw. The other end of that story is keeping Mary Durfee here somehow. You know, and I know that
well, with that laundromat closing, Bob, I'm sorry.
I know.
Is going to wreck this town. Everything is going to go this way or out.
Well, it doesn't mean we shouldn't try not to have it.
I understand what you're saying. I just think we are butting our heads against a brick wall, and I also think
quite literally.
Literally, you're not wrong, but I just think it's going to create something that's not going to work the way we think it's going to.
I'll tell you what they've done in Rutland, they've done in Virgins, they've done other places when they had big spaces like that. They did a maker space.
That's a great idea.
And it worked. I mean, it worked in Virgins like overnight.
Yeah, but you got to have the landlords working with you. There's
several
landlords down here that at $1,500 to $1,800 a month for rent, you can't meet that.
Before
I started the shop, I talked to Dave Nelson about putting an indoor mall where Trap House is right now.
Yeah.
I thought having like 20 different vendors going in there and it would make up enough, but I couldn't even get enough vendors to pay the rent, much less and everything else.
Nothing is... You know, it's all about what people can do and afford, and like you say, the vendors. But I don't think we should not try to do it just because it's going to be difficult.
Let me ask you this: maybe Phil, you would know the answers. Do we have? I mean, I've seen the various maps of the town. Do we have a map that identifies what is actually can be developed? Because I think that if we identified what really could be, as a practical matter, could be developed, it would make it a lot easier to kind of determine what our boundaries should be.
Well, that's something.
Except for the zoning maps.
But they don't identify what parcels aren't being used.
Right, that's what I was just going to say.
We only have so much infrastructure, municipal water and sewer in place. And so the difference being... There may be commercial land, like on South Main Street, that is developable, but you don't have municipal water and sewer.
Right.
It's only down to a certain point. It's like going up Airport Road, where what you have for municipal. I don't even know, can the private individuals, hook onto that sewer line that comes down through from the guard?
I don't know. You can, the one that comes from Skyline, You can.
Right.
You can pay to hook into that.
Right.
You have to do all the machinations. You have to go underneath the road and that kind of thing. But you can hook onto that. There's a fee, but it's a fee to the town.
Okay.
The town owns that now, and I'm sure they own the one from the
As part of the agreement when they built that?
Yeah, usually that's the case. I don't know that for sure, but...
Well, he brings up a good point. Is our sewer system capable of handling?
Absolutely.
The capacity's there, water and sewer is my understanding. It's just when you get outside of that, you have these big lot size requirements per family unit. So if it's housing you're looking at, once you leave municipal water and sewer or one or the other service, it jumps up to 40,000 square feet per family unit. And an acre is 43,560 square feet. So just to give you an idea of what, if someone was looking to develop housing, if you get away from the town's infrastructure, you're talking a whole lot of land.
But if you're building up, if you're developing housing development, that number is in your mind. You know you're going to get to the sewer line. And if you can get to a sewer line with the capability, you'll pay for that one-time infrastrastructure. It'll be part of your business.
Yeah, it cuts it in half if you get to the sewer line.
Right.
It's 20,000 square feet.
Sure. Yeah.
But I mean, the state's new change in law for everybody with lot size, the reduction is involved with whatever is with municipal water and sewer, having that minimum 7,600 and something square feet now.
So so when you have to build, you have to have at least an acre of property.
If you've got to have at least 40,000 square feet to put in a family unit, if you're not on either municipal water and sewer, right?
Right. For me, I'm on septic.
Oh, you are?
But I'm on town water. Mm. So that was helpful. I'm just under an acre.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we had 10 acres on River Street, and we had a septic and our own well.
Yeah.
I guess I have a well in the backyard that Tracy showed me.
Yep, you do.
Yep. It's got a piece of slate.
I'm using it and disconnecting my town water. Save yourself some money,
girl. I'd like to figure out how deep it is.
Yeah, that's important.
So that, I guess the homework is the same homework as before. Go through the subdivision suggestions that Logan sent us. Come up with anything that seems problematic. I mean, all of the stuff, all the guys, all the things you're saying is valid, but it isn't. I'm of the opinion that we shouldn't stop doing it. We should, and if it turns out it's for naught, it won't. Then it's for naught. But I don't think it will be.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. My question is, if we do build this, and for whatever reason it just doesn't, I don't know, whatever. What happens?
Well, we have the subdivision rules. We still have them,
okay.
Which are, I didn't see anything that scared me. It was pretty much very friendly to the town.
Yeah.
That I thought. I didn't see anything that jumped out at me and said somebody's getting a free ride here.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing, having subdivision rules means that a developer can come in and do his checkoff. I've got to have this, I've got to have this, I've got to have this. Not being surprised if something missed in the zoning regs or something like that.
Plus, I think there have been two projects that have died because of Act 250.
Yes.
It could be, if it was subdivision regs and now a 10-acre town, then they could possibly want to do things again. So, and that's... in a couple of places, you know, close to the downtown that were proposed and issued a permit for one and then found out, no, I can't, without going through Act 250. So I'm saying you could stimulate development in the downtown area.
And there's all kinds of money floating around federal and state now to get housing, particularly housing that's affordable. And single family and apartment housing, and the last proposal we had, I think we're on the board on that, it was kind of a, it was real loosey-goosey, and it hadn't been solidified up much, but was north of, just north of the Route 4 on that, would be the east side of Route 4, there's that big field there. It's where they're putting the new substation, so there would be, that proposal was like 20 or 30 houses, wow, plus a couple apartment buildings. Mm-hmm. It's a cash cow for the town, to a certain extent. I mean, obviously, with houses come kids and stuff like that, but it's still, we're way overbuilt for the population we have in the schools right now, so we'd be okay for that. But anyways, it was a massive proposal, and there are people out there just waiting. Smaller versions of that is the trailer park up there. At some time very soon is going to be closed, and that property will be up there. it's just awful. It's terrible for the tenants, and it's terrible for the town. Mm-hmm. Town's owed about $60,000 or $70,000, and
which we'll never see.
We'll never see. Mm-hmm. But if we just get it to where somebody buys the thing, and
well, that was the, you know, when I was first on the board, I had Joe asked me, because of my background, to come into a meeting that he had with the state, a Zoom meeting, and they had some sort of emergency procedures which could have basically gotten it done in about 18 months, and nothing really came of that.
The because it was in probate, they stepped away from it, and now it's probate. The probate, the person that is running the probate for them, is doing everything she can do to get that sold, get that property sold. So
yeah,
who knows? But so before we get off on a tangent again, mm-hmm, which I'm good at, so let's look at the subdivision rules again, kind of get through them this time. We don't meet again until the 8th of January.
No, well, our minutes say the 15th, so which one do we want to use?
Yeah, I thought agenda. That you canceled the first, but yeah, was only...
Are we going to kick it back to... Yeah, we talked about that.
Because otherwise you'd have to do a special, schedule a special meeting.
Okay. Yeah, sorry about
we
that.
We deserve a vacation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll get Logan, I'll tell Logan I screwed up.
So when is the next meeting going to be?
The 15th of January. 15th, okay. So we got some time.
It's on the bottom of your agenda for this one.
Did anybody hear or make any progress on some of the things that
I did?
Okay, talk.
Well, the only thing that I was going to look at was the statute 1441, 1E and 1F. That's the two that we have to look at to decide on that. The number four, whatever that, I don't remember what that was. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That one that was very confusing, and well, I looked at.
It's, where's the check? Keep going.
Yep, 4441, 1E. When you read it and you go through everything in there, it is, I can't even picture Fairhaven when I look at all the things that had to be done for that. The other one was strictly a historical district. Okay. It was the rules and regulations on how you can modify the architecture, or it's those kind of things that we would have to do. So that's so much easier than the other one. So I think we should just make a decision that that's the one that we're going to go for. Because the other one, if you read
the
it...
The historical district?
Yeah, yeah, that's the that's 1F.
Okay.
1E, which was part of that, is just, I mean, when you read it, I was reading it and I'm saying, I can't even picture Fairhaven. doing this. It talked about the design review board. Yeah. It talked about municipalities and panels and, you know, just...
One thing, and I'm not sure if that relates to exactly what you're talking about, but the EDC, Logan and the EDC are both in agreement that we can use the EDC. The EDC yes. is happy to do that.
I know, great.
And I sent them the bylaws. I sent Logan the bylaws. He says, just a few tweaks here and there to make it right, and we can use the... So we've got a captive audience for that part of it, which is... So
our design review board, you're saying?
It's not a design review board. It's just a downtown designation, and we can call it anything. We can keep the name EDC.
Yeah, I think...
Why, you know, why reinvent the wheel, as they say.
See, but, E is design review districts.
Yeah.
We don't want anything to do with that at all.
That's just, what would happen there is...
I'm reading this and I'm going, oh, yeah, but is this Chicago we're talking about here?
Yeah, see, Manchester does that, Woodstock does that, I think Rutland has a design review board. Poultney, I think they got rid of their planning commission and called it a design review board. So
I think Logan said something about Poland having one, yeah.
But
I have the National Register for the Fairhaven historical thing, but I can't download it for the PDF. So I don't know what to do about that. I'll have to see if I can do that and bring that in.
Okay. What is it you want?
It's the historic district, Agnes, or Victoria Agnes sent this for us in... Or where the historical district is.
Okay.
So I just got to get it downloaded so we'll have it in print. But it's the round, the edge.
Oh, okay. You said west.
It's the back side of the park?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
We just need to expand it. I mean.
Yeah.
And they called it, which lists all the properties in the Green Historic District.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. But I'll get that verified or clarified.
That's that was probably the 90s or even before that got it. I remember hearing about it, but it might even have been the 80s, but...
I came into town.
Because that was the original, when the original improvement of downtown was like 1981, and so the historic district was the first step in that, and then, of course, as is with everything, it got...
I wonder why it was only that little area.
Well, it may have been the easiest one to... qualify and quantify and say, look at these buildings.
Sorry.
Answer the phone. It's for you.
Well, it's somebody for sure.
So you're thinking historical district.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So what I would, if I could ask you to see if you could figure out what the criteria, write down the criteria so we all have in front of us.
Okay.
And then I think we check that list, that one off.
Okay.
The water and sewer people are going to fill out they have the thing, they're going to fill out the reports. Actually, I was going to see them today and I faced it. But we have plenty of, they're both telling me we have plenty of water and sewer. I think the one that worried me the most was getting some organization. Whatever they call the ones in Rutland,
yeah,
he told us.
That's what the EDC is
doing. But that's what the EDC is doing. So all we do to them is add another couple of paragraphs in their bylaws that say that they're also involved in the downtown restoration or whatever we end up
calling it.
Fairhaven Progress or Fairhaven Forward. Or that's my favorite.
I like that. I like that Fairhaven
Forward. I'm claiming authorship of that one.
I mean, we're state champions.
So that's where we're at. We're in pretty good shape. So by the 15th, we could almost, without too much trouble, we could have a final copy of a... of the subdivision, and figure another meeting after that. Maybe we just to make sure everybody's comfortable. If we get a final copy on the 15th, so the next meeting we could adopt that, hand it to the selectmen. We'd be in fairly close to the tough stuff. If as long as they let the EDC, he's going to run. He's, I don't know if he has yet or not, but he's going to run that in front of the state people. But they're pretty easy going. They want this,
yeah.
You know, and they don't want a lot of hurdles. The legislatures don't want any hurdles because their big thing is the political thing of bypassing Act 250. So
that I can't see that we're having trouble. When I first moved here, I was like, oh my God. What they have to do, because I was working at Harvard.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. It was Dean Davis, a Republican governor, yep. For Act 250.
Yep, I remember
and
that.
And it wasn't horrible at the time. Nobody, but what happened was, as is with everything, you know, the elephant is the mouse built by committee. They just kept adding stuff to it and adding stuff to it and adding stuff to it. Next thing you know, it costs you $400,000 to say, I want to build a house.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't Berliez Chrysler have a problem when they wanted to put up a sign? Because
I'm sure. I wouldn't be surprised.
It was blue, sure. And it wasn't going to go with the landscape.
Well, what happened was it became, actually became like a, you know, like somebody's little castle bailiwick thing, and then they protected it.
It was an awful thing.
Who was the guy that was the Act 250 guy in Rutland area?
Reverend Day?
Yeah. That guy, he got to be hated.
Who was that?
He got to be hated.
I will have to recall his name. But
yeah.
When was this?
Until probably 5 or 6 years ago. He was the Act 250 guy, and he just...
I'll have to find out who that is.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it. I just can't recall.
I know a lot of people in Rutland from my radio days.
Joe had something for me to do, which I will know more about tomorrow or the next day. But it didn't. He sent me a paragraph with some verbiage for something, but I don't understand how it fits in. I thought it was for the hazard mitigation program, but it sounded like something to go into the town plan, so I don't want to bring it up because that's what I thought he was talking about when I was talking to him earlier, so we could just take a look at that, but I don't want to know.
Okay.
So,
send us an email.
Other than that, does anybody have anything else to add?
I just have a question, again, so that minor things can go through, hopefully by whoever the zoning administrator
is. Yes.
So if you have a family that wants to cut a piece for their son or daughter.
There's a whole stipulation about that, exactly about that.
So I was looking at the what was labeled as Section 2, page 2, types major versus minor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I started.
And really, reading down through, I don't see it defined clearly to me.
Okay, then we have to work on that.
Well, we'll.
Because I read it as...
Oh, wait a second, excuse me. Maybe I didn't read far enough at the bottom of the page, page 2. So the zoning administrator would give the classification. So if someone was doing a minor line adjustment or a divide a lot for a family member, they wouldn't have to go through everything involved in a major.
No.
Okay.
They wouldn't have to build a sidewalk. They wouldn't have to do the
same
map. That's the way I understood that, but it's worth asking. I mean, we all can, if you see something you want to email Logan, go ahead and email Logan and ask him, you know, but put us all on it so we're all getting the same questions answered.
So that's important to me, to make sure that someone can go through the process for something minor clearly, you know, and not have big hoops to jump through for something that shouldn't involve big hoops.
Right, like they wouldn't have to go through a historical... what do they call that nowadays? I saw that just a minute ago, right here. Now I can't find it. I hate reading on a computer. I don't know why it bothers me so much. But anyways, yeah, I read that as being totally in your bailiwick if it's needed.
And historically what I've seen, unless we get into something like you're talking about that might be proposed on Airport Road, that's what you see in town.
Yeah.
Is either line adjustments.
Yeah.
After someone has something surveyed and they make changes, or people cutting out of their family properties to mm-hmm. give a child or have something for sale from right. split off from their property. So it's usually a one subdivision right. that you're seeing come along.
And now the question I guess I would have is, it turns us into a 10-acre town. Right. So if you're do you have to subdivide to a family member at 10 acres or better, or
if you have
10.1 or 10.2? I remember.
No, but we're talking commercial development.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Or if you were talking about, I don't know what the threshold is now for Act 250 for the number of okay. dwelling units.
This calls out 4.
Okay.
Yeah, I think maybe we kick it up to 5.
But. Yeah. But it's whatever Act 250, as far as dwelling units, requires review.
Okay.
The number.
Okay. That's fine. It doesn't really affect somebody trying to break up their land.
No. It would only be in the case of something commercial.
Okay.
Proposed.
Which right goes now, through that dance, anyways.
Yeah.
That would be the difference between major and minor.
1 acre for our town, and hopefully with the subdivision regulations, it would kick it to 10 acres Act 250 okay. would get involved in a okay. review.
When we did subdivided our land on River Street, as long as we had the 10 acres, we could go through without the Act 250.
Yeah,
but that was like a million gazillion years ago. Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So, anybody got anything else to add or subtract, or and. Hope Jenny is feeling better wherever the recording is.
Oh, yeah.
Hope you're feeling better, Jenny.
Feel better.
The rest of us have homework, and we'll do it. And so you're going to come up with what we need for historic.
I'll figure it out.
I figured you would.
Well, either that or ask the Historical Society. They must have some ideas.
I'm probably going to. I'll talk to Lorraine.
Yeah, because I'm going to download that PDF and see if there's anything in there for us. But.
Can you mail it to me?
Yeah, I guess.
You have my email. Yeah.
I don't know. What is it?
So the most important motion should be now.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. We're done. Thank you.
Jenny's sake, excuse me, could you give a time of opening and closing the meeting?
7:10. It's 7:43 now.
Yeah. And our next meeting is the 15th.
Do we need to tell her who was present? She can probably tell by her voice, right?
She'll probably figure it out.
She'll tell that Jason's here.
Yeah.
You might want to.
Bob, Jason.
It's Bob, yes. Jason,
Cindy, and Linda.
And Bill. Yeah.
And Bill. That's no members of the public.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'll switch off.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, all.
See you first.